Hi, this is Pastor Warren from Beverly Hills Community Church. The other day, I was going door to door in my community trying to lead people to Jesus, and I met a young lady from Honduras. And since we do our service in English, I set her up to go to a Spanish church. And she went, and a lady there greeted her and so forth. And then I spoke to her the next day, and she told me that the lady who spoke to her just sort of said to her, "Have you accepted Christ?" And she said, she kind of beat around the bush. And so the lady said, "You need to accept Christ. Here, let's pray right now." And she grabbed her hands and she led her in a prayer of salvation. And so this Honduran lady said to me, was that right to do like that? Do you have to do that in a hurry?" And that's why I'm sharing this here on this recording. I wanted to share with you. I really believe that that is a very bad thing to do, a very bad thing. And I want to speak to Christians and tell, you know, and urge you, don't operate like that when you work with people who are unchurched or who are new at your church. I just don't think it's a good course of action. Why? Because you see, that kind of gives the impression that Christianity is kind of like a magical thing. If you say these words, you'll be saved. And I had a pastor once tell me, "You need to just lead them in prayer. Don't ask any questions. Don't spend any time, because the devil will get them if you don't." And the idea was like, you know, if you just say these words, you know, you'll get them out of the clutches of the devil. And so that just gives an entirely wrong impression of what Christianity is. You see, the prayer of salvation that we pray, those are not magic words that you say, hocus pocus, dominiocus, you know, abacadabra, and now you're in. No. You don't. Being saved is not a matter of saying some words. When Jesus called people, he called them to follow him, take his yoke upon them, and learn of him. In other words, he called them to the life of a follower of a rabbi. And in that time period, they understood that. Rabbis would say, "Take my yoke upon you." That would mean it was always to young men, and the rabbis were calling the young men to become rabbis. Follow me and become like me, become a rabbi. So when Jesus said that, that's the kind of understanding that those people of that time had. They knew that he was saying, "Come and be with me, learn my ways, learn my teachings, do what I do." And you see, nothing's changed, folks. Salvation isn't repeating a prayer. The Bible doesn't say God so loved the world that he gave us the sinner's prayer so that whosoever would repeat these words would not perish but have everlasting life. No, no, no. He didn't give us the sinner's prayer. He gave us his son. Whoever has the son has the life, 1 John 5 says. Whoever doesn't have the son doesn't have the life. So it's not magic words. It's not a formula. And it's not something you should hurry someone into. Salvation is really, if you want to know a closer analogy, it's like marriage. Can you imagine you meet a person, say you're a young lady and you meet this man and somebody says to you, "Do you want to marry this man? He seems like a good looking young man. I think you should marry him. Look, he's got a ring. He could give you, I can get you, well, look, I can give you my ring. Here, we can do it right now. You want to do it right now? Let's just do it right now. Let's get married. He's a good guy. You're a good girl. Let's get married." Can you imagine hurrying along in a marriage thing like that? What a recipe for disaster, right? No, 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 you shouldn't hurry getting married. You need to meet the person. You need to find out what they're like, what their family's like. You have to have many conversations. You go out on dates. You do things together. And you come to see that, you know what? This person really is the kind I'd like to be with. We have stuff in common. We feel good about one another. I trust him or her. They trust me. And then after a long period of courtship, you go, "You know what? I think I'd like to spend my life with you. Would you marry me?" And she says, "Yes." That is really a better picture of what salvation is like. You know, it really is. Because actually, we're called the bride of Christ anyway, you know. And so a person that doesn't know the Lord, we have to share with them the Word of God, tell them who Jesus is, and the Holy Spirit has to work in their lives, showing them that Christ really exists and that he truly loves them and that they can trust him, they can trust his Word, and they have to understand such things as, you know what, you're a rebellious sinner, you're off of God's path, you're not naturally acceptable to God. So you have to repent. You have to decide to follow Jesus. You have to be baptized. All of this is part of what it means to be a Christian. And it's how we get born again, right? We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And we purpose that we're going to say, I do. I want to marry you, Lord Jesus. I believe you love me. I believe I can trust you. And so I entrust my life to you, and I'm going to trust you in the sense that I'm going to do what you say and follow you. If I don't do what you say, I don't really trust you. You see? So I just wanted to share this with you. Please, Christians, as you go about trying to lead others to Christ, don't be in a hurry. You cannot force them. You cannot push them down this path. Rather, you're more like a midwife. Just cooperate with the process of the Holy Spirit working in their life. Help them to understand things. Help them by removing obstacles to their faith and lead them gently to the place where they say, I do. I want to accept the Lord as my Lord and Savior. God bless you.